time for our social media update, and today we will dive into some trends with our digital media expert, Scott Kleinberg. And these trends often change, especially in social media. Scott, let's start with some basics. What's the biggest change you've noticed in social media recently?
Good morning, Bob. I'd say this is a newer trend, and it's continued to grow in popularity, and that is the growth of niche communities and private groups on social media.
Explain what you mean by niche communities.
Yeah, sure. So these are smaller, more focused groups of people who share specific interests. So, for example, you might find groups dedicated to gardening, books, local community events. These niche communities operate much more like clubs or gatherings than the typical social media we've become so accustomed to.
So what do you think about this shift? You have a unique perspective. You've been doing this since the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah. Honestly, Bob, I like it a lot. I like it because it adds an important human element to a medium that became not so human over time. And I'll give you an example. One of the biggest complaints people have had about social media over the years is you get this unavoidable feeling you're shouting into a void. You're hoping someone will hear you and respond. And I can imagine this translated into the real world, that it's like walking alone into a room full of people milling around and yelling, "Hi, I like gardening." And people would be like, "What is this person doing?" And they'd be right to do that, right? But in this reality, you come into a group of people who enjoy gardening and you talk about your experiences in gardening and you find that common ground where friendships are eventually formed.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a great way to connect with like-minded people. So how do you recommend that folks go about finding those communities?
Well, most social media platforms have search functions that are pretty good, where you can look for groups or communities based on interest. Facebook actually has a wide variety of groups. And even though hashtags are being used a lot less frequently than they once were, you can still use them to search on various platforms.
Well, and what about video? I remember talking to you on a radio show a long time ago about how if you don't post a video, you're in trouble. That was beginning to be the big thing, and it certainly is now, isn't it?
Yeah. Video is a great example of a trend that grew really quickly and really never stopped growing. The rise is evident across all platforms, even in places where years ago I would have been so surprised to see it. So take LinkedIn, for example. LinkedIn is still a platform for professionals, for professional development, and there's video content now that fits perfectly there. And short form videos in particular, those have exploded in popularity.
Talk more about short form video and what it is exactly.
Yeah, sure. So platforms like TikTok, that's popularized short, engaging videos. And now other social media giants are following suits. Instagram has Reels. YouTube has YouTube Shorts. And even Facebook is emphasizing video content. And look at what happened when TikTok went offline for a few hours during this whole political argument. People basically lost their minds. And TikTok is one of the new platforms. And it's only been around since like 2016.
Yeah. What did that reaction tell you, Scott?
Well, it told me that for better or worse, you know, people really depend on, they want this kind of content. And the above example shows there are other places to get it besides TikTok. I mean, there's an addictive element to social media and being online in general. Back in the early 2000s, I'm really showing my age, before the launch of the first mainstream social media platform, I remember writing an article about the addictive nature of being online. And 25 years later, it has never been more true.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean people need to start making videos to stay relevant on any of the social media platforms?
I don't think necessarily, but I do think it's becoming an increasingly important format. So it certainly cannot hurt to have the ability to do so. Even simple, authentic videos can be effective. Many users are embracing what's called FaceTime content, which feels more personal and less polished.
Scott Kleinberg, digital media expert with us. And we've been talking about authentic video. Scott, talk a little more about that and the personal aspect of videos.
Sure, sure. You may have actually heard this referred to as lo-fi, which is the opposite of hi-fi, which is a term we've heard of many times over the years. Lo-fi is when the production quality contains imperfections, and that choice is often deliberate. So I mentioned a few minutes ago FaceTime content. Think of this lo-fi content as the difference between a heavily edited video of someone talking to you and someone holding a shaky iPhone in front of their face. There's a place for both, but this lo-fi content is really gaining traction. And if video has been the trend over the past several years, lo-fi video is the newer version of that trend, a trend within the trend.
That's interesting. What about platforms, the social networks themselves? Which ones are gaining traction now?
Well, it's a good question. The answer matches the video trend that we were just talking about. So Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok are definitely the biggest growers. And when it comes to TikTok, adults are really embracing it now more than ever. You'll remember in the beginning, TikTok was for the youngest audiences. It was all dancing. Now it's so much more. And I am still stunned at how it's grown and changed over a relatively short period of time.
What do you think is drawing people to those platforms?
I think it's because each platform offers something unique. I mean, Instagram is great for sharing photos and keeping up with family and friends. YouTube is great for informational and educational content. And TikTok, again, while often associated with younger users, it can also be a source of entertainment and also learning.
What about Facebook now? Who's using Facebook and also X? And are they still go-to platforms?
Well, Facebook is definitely still popular, absolutely, and especially among adults over 50. It's been overshadowed by some of the other platforms for sure. X, it's definitely lost a lot of its luster since it replaced Twitter. And notice I said replaced, because a lot of people say Twitter is the former X. It's not. They are totally different platforms.
Yeah. Are there any downsides, Scott, to these trends that folks should be aware of?
You know, I would say is with any technology, it's important to use social media mindfully. And one concern I have is the potential for information overload, or you spend too much time online. We're all guilty of that. It's crucial to maintain a balance. And another concern, a big concern of mine, is the spread of misinformation and disinformation. This is one of the elements of social media that honestly has disappointed me the most, because we went from people trying to deceive to a place where now you're unable to almost tell fact from fiction sometimes.
Yeah. How can people ensure that they're using social media in a healthy way? I know you've talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating.
Yeah. I would say setting boundaries is key. You know, maybe you dedicate specific times of day to check social media rather than constantly scrolling. And also be selective about who you follow and about what content you engage with.
As far as privacy, anything new there? Because so many people are concerned about their personal information online.
Yeah. Privacy, always a hot topic. I mean, we're seeing platforms introduce more robust privacy settings and options for those who want to control their data.
What are your big privacy tips for us, Scott?
Well, I always say regularly review and adjust your privacy settings on each platform. Always be cautious about what personal information you share publicly, and really be very wary of accepting friend requests from people you don't know.
What about businesses? Same for them?
Businesses are increasingly using social media for customer service and engagement, which is interesting. It's not brand new, but it's increasing. Many companies actually now have dedicated social media teams just to interact with customers on these platforms, and it definitely was not always that way. Sometimes there was a social media person. Now there are full teams, and again, not always. But I see more of this with each passing day. And what that shows me is social media is still a very key tool for businesses to communicate with their customers.
For sure. Final advice as far as staying up to date?
You know, Bob, this might sound strange, but I always say that the best way to understand social media is to use it, immerse yourself in it, and don't be afraid to explore different platforms and different features to find what's right for you. And remember, it's totally okay to take it slow and learn at your own pace. At the end of the day, the goal is to enhance your connections and your experiences, not to have to stress about keeping up with every single trend.
Yeah, just watch out for those rabbit holes. Don't go down those. Let's get to our Genius Bar question for you. And this is something I've thought about, too. If you have an iPhone, when you're sending a text especially, it can be that autocorrect can be more of a nuisance than helpful. Anything we can do about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, if you're on an iPhone, it's actually not hard at all. Let me see if I remember exactly how to do it. If you go under the settings and you go to general and keyboard, you have the option under there to turn auto correction on or off. It's always on by default, as we know. And I remember back in the day when autocorrect first came out, Apple was like, this is going to make your life so much better and so much easier. And 3 weeks later, everybody was like, no, this does not make our lives easier. So actually, it's pretty easy on an iPhone. And for people who use Android, I know it's under the languages and input section. I'd have to do a little bit more research to find exactly where, but all devices have a way to turn it on and off.
Is yours on? You leave it on, Scott?
You know, I do leave it on, and mostly that's because after time, autocorrect will learn your habits. It seems like it doesn't, or it seems like it's really, really slow, so I tend to work around it because I find my life is easier having it on. There's actually an app that I use to clean up text that automatically has autocorrect off. So whenever I make a mistake, the mistake is there, and I really notice it. So sometimes I miss autocorrect, so it really depends on what you're doing.
I think it's learned my bad habits. That's my problem. Scott Kleinberg, yeah. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a good one.
You too, Bob. Take care.